Excellent. Well, we recently concluded a series looking at the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the series impacted so many people. People were literally changed from the inside out. We are hearing dozens of stories and feedback from homes change, marriages change. We've seen so many people give their life to Jesus. They come from a place where they did not know Jesus to falling in love with Jesus. People recommitting their life to Him and being greatly touched by God. So it was an incredible series that we see God saw God move and God touch people's hearts and lives. And today we're starting a new series called What Christians Believe and Why. What Christians Believe and Why. And we're going to be looking at seven of the key theological doctrines of our Christian faith. And the purpose behind this series is preparation. I want to share with you the why behind this. I believe, as your pastor and as a leader, one that is seeking God out, especially at the start of this year, I believe that God gave me such a clear word that we're about to experience a move of God that we have never seen, heard, or witnessed in our lives or in our land before. I truly believe that. So it is crucial that we are grounded in God's word. It is crucial that we are certain of what we believe and why we believe it. And God gave me this picture, like a ship sets out of harbor. And a gust of wind comes by and it picks that ship up and it sets it en route. I believe like the power of God is going to sweep against us and begin moving on us. But we must be anchored and grounded in the word of God that we are moved in the right direction. That God's directing us and moving us into the places that He has for us to be the people who He's called us to be able to experience the purposes of God. Three P's. That was just glorious alliteration. But in order to be moved in the right direction, we need to be certain of our beliefs and of our faith. Amen? Because, you know, when we come to know Jesus and give our lives to Jesus. And I know there's so many people here today, you haven't yet made that decision, and that's okay. We're on a journey together. But when we do that and we give our lives to Jesus, we enter into His church, we must then be certain of what we believe and why. Yeah. And today we're starting off in this seven-week series looking at the most important foundation of our faith, the Word of God. Yeah. The Word of God. Everything that we believe and why must be founded in the Word of God. New ideas and new fads and new ways of doing church and thinking, if it is not grounded in the Word of God and is not compared, and you can read it in the Word of God, it's not to be. And so, turn with me, if with your Bibles or on your phones, as many people have. Of course, the scripture will be on the screen, so don't worry or be under stress about it. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this: all scripture is inspired by God. That is so key to where we're going in this message today. And I want to encourage you to take notes, be writing these things down. I've prepared a meal for you. Are you ready? Are you hungry today? Come on. So we want you to take notes, write this down, because this is going to help your life. This is going to help you, because maybe it's going to be the very thing just to shift you out of maybe a religious place that you've become, maybe a place of stagnation, that you have a heart for God and a hunger for His word. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. The Message translation says it like this: through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. God's word is inspired by God. One translation says that it is God breathed, that He breathed upon us through His words to teach us, correct us, and equip us to do every good work. As the Message says, to shape us into the man and woman who He has called us to be, to carry out the purposes that He has placed on our life. John chapter 1, verse 1, talking about Jesus, begins with this: in the beginning of time, before even time began, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Ultimately, the purpose of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, is Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of the Bible. Jesus is the living Word. He is the Word made flesh. The Bible is the written Word, and the living Word is revealed in the written Word, and the written Word leads us to the living Word. They are one. The purpose of the Word of God is to lead us to Jesus, to learn about Jesus, to love Jesus, to be able to follow Him all the days of our life, in our life, through our life, in every facet of our life. And so I want to share with you four truths that we believe about the Word of God. Four truths that we believe about the Word of God. Here's the first truth. The Word of God is absolute. The Word of God is absolute. What does that mean? It means that it is complete, perfect, free from limitations or exceptions, and the ultimate basis of reality. As Christians, we believe that the Bible is truth. Amen. We believe that the Bible is truth. We believe that the facts can be relied on and the words are true. We believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. Biblical inerrancy is the belief that the Bible is without error or fault in all its teaching, or at least that Scripture in the original manuscripts does not affirm anything that is contrary to fact. The Word of God is absolute. That means that the Bible is truth, that it can be relied on, that it can be trusted, that it can be believed in. It can be the foundation of our faith. As Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are flawless. Psalm 119:89, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is flawless. The word of God is absolute. It is truth. Here's the second thing. The Word of God is authentic. The Word of God is authentic. It is the authentic Word of God inspired by God. You know, the Bible is not one book, but it's a collection of 66 books comprising of the Old and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Bible was written by prophets and kings and judges. He was using the culture and the customs of the day to be able to communicate His words to the people. And in the New Testament, it was written by the disciples and the followers of Jesus. So what's interesting about this is that it's written by men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Written by men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it is consistent throughout all 66 books with itself in the revelation of God to mankind. It is inspired by God. Its inspiration means that the Holy Spirit of God superintended the human writers in the production of Scripture so that what they wrote was precisely what God wanted written. They didn't make it up. It was inspired by God. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter 1:21. He says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This sermon today was written by man, but inspired by God. It is, I'm preaching the Word of God, not the Word of Sean. And I've been inspired and influenced by God to be able to prepare a word for you today to be able to both inspire you and teach you and make you to come back to be equipped by the Word. The same way in which this word was written, it was written by man under the influence and the inspiration of God. And even though these men are long gone, just as we will be, the Word of God still remains. Though the world may fade away, His word will remain. As Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The word of God is 100% written by human authors and is also 100% inspired by God. Now, how can that be? How can that be? Well, upon preparation this week, I came upon this great illustration. And illustrated and compared to St. Paul's Cathedral in London. I've been there. It's a wonderful masterpiece, a great piece of architecture. And it was built by Christopher Wren, one of the greatest architects of his time. And he started building the cathedral at the age of 43 in 1675. And for 36 years, the cathedral was built under one architect. Usually it takes a number of architects over such a long period, but it was built under one architect. And it was completed in 1711 when Christopher Wren was 79 years of age. But even though he was the one who built the cathedral, he never laid a stone. As we say, he never did a day's work. He never laid a stone. But it was stonemasons and carpenters and builders, probably all Irish because it was in England. Many people involved over a long period of time. We know we're the greatest builders. Many people over a long period of time, but it was Christopher Wren who was the inspiration. He was the architect behind it all. He was the architect, and others helped build it. So it is with the Bible. There are many different writers, but there's one architect. There's one inspiration. There's one God behind it all, working all the pieces the same way that he works in our life, putting all the pieces together. When we stand back, we begin to see the completion, and God says, I will complete what I've started in you. But in the middle of it, we've seen, God, what are you doing? How are you going to put this together the same way he put together the Word of God? By using different people in different places at different times, but it's all God-breathed. It's God-inspired. It's one architect and one inspiration behind it all. The Word of God is authentic. It is God inspired. Number three, the Word of God is accurate. It is accurate. The Scriptures are known as the most consistent, accurate writings ever written, as proven by some of the greatest historians and scholars ever known over thousands of years. It is known as the book of all books. It is known as the divine library. It is priceless and incomparable. And the 66 books of the Bible are divided into two sections called the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament has 39 books and the New Testament has 27 books. And both the old and the new, they have a unique emphasis. And on their own, they are complete. And each together complements one another. It's incredible because there is recorded 6,600 cross-references between them both supporting their interrelatedness. That's mind-blowing. 6,600 cross-references. It is written over a period of 1,600 years by approximately 40 different authors living in different cultures and countries from Egypt to Rome to Babylon. Now, these authors, they were from all different types of backgrounds, from kings to statesmen to prophets to peasants to fishermen and herdsmen and priests and tradesmen and prisoners, who wrote the Bible in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Koine Greek, which is ancient Greek. These writings include almost every kind of literature, including history and law and poetry and prophecy and biography and songs and letters and parables and proverbs. And the miracle of the Bible is this, is that it produced the most unified book that you can ever read. That over that time span, by all different men, all different people from different backgrounds, languages, cultures, customs, yet together it is one unified book. Each writer is contributing needed parts to harmonize together, but doesn't contradict one another. There's no contradiction in the Bible between one another in a revelation of God in itself. Though a compilation of 66 books, it really is one unified book. And over the ages, many have tried to vilify and destroy the Bible. over the last 3,500 years, it has not only been the most loved book of all time, where it is in the number one of the number one bestsellers, where they had to remove it from the bestsellers list because it would always be number one. It's not only the most loved, but it's also the most hated book in existence. No book has ever suffered such persistent opposition that the Bible has and those who possess it. Untold thousands of Bibles have been burned and countless Christians have been executed for possessing it. Still today, in the 21st century, 2019, people are being executed and tortured and persecuted for possessing the Word of God. Why? Because the power that can be held in the Word of God cannot be found in any other book, any other teaching, any other man who calls himself a God, nothing else, but only can be found in the Word of God. It has been rejected, corrupted, and challenged. Its infallibility, its inerrancy, and its authority have been attacked on every side, and yet it still remains today. Yet, even though suffering over the ages, thousands of years, over the centuries, have survived every storm and its triumph over them to remain the most significant book in all of history. What a miracle. How we see God's preservation of His Word is yet another proof of His inspiration, its authenticity, and its accuracy. In fact, it was us, the Irish, who preserved the Word of God during the Dark Ages. It was us who then held on to the Word of God and brought copies to all over different corners of the then known world. One of our greatest national treasures is found in Trinity College, the Book of Kells, which comprises the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What an incredible legacy, a heritage that we have as a people. You know, I was just thinking about this week. I was thinking, we no longer live in a dark age, but we do live in a digital age. And I truly believe that Ireland will become one of the epicenters of faith in our world today. I truly believe that there's something bubbling in the people, where there's this longing for something real, something authentic, something of truth, something that's accurate, something that we can be fed on, something that tells us how to live, why we're living, who we are, whose we are. That I believe that it will be us, the people, the Irish, where the rest of the world will want to be traveling here and tuning in to what God is doing in our lives and in our land. But we must firstly be grounded in God's Word. If you want to see great things happen in your life that's by God, firstly, you need to be grounded in His Word. And here's the most important point. The Word of God is absolute. It's authentic. It's accurate. The Word of God is our ultimate authority. The Word of God is our authority. The Bible is the only authoritative written revelation of God. The only authoritative written revelation of God. And at Open Arms, what do we believe and why? We believe that the Word of God is our ultimate authority. Why? Because it guides us through life. It holds the promises of God and the purposes of man. And we should continually, every day, turn to it to hear from God and take direction from it. Ultimately, it is our authority for what we believe and for how we live. The Bible contains truth above any other knowledge. The more you get this book into your life, the more life that you have. It is the book of life. It is the Word of God that gives us life. It's through the Bible that you will have understanding of things that can't be obtained anywhere else. If you would study history and you'd see from business and every facet of our nation and our world and it's been on from the government and everything, you go back to the source. This is the source. It's the source of all wisdom. It's the source of all godliness is the source of life. It's through this book that you'll have insight above what academics have, above what scientists may have, or world leaders may have when you come back to the Word of God. It's in this book that you will find life and godliness. For it's in the Word that God speaks to us. As 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is God's voice in written form. God, why won't you speak to me? What do you have to say to me? Where are you? Turn to my word. As you read his words, it is God's voice in written form. It is the authority for our lives. This is the very authority of our church. It's the authority of our lives. It must be our authority. We find incredible power and hope and direction and love and mercy when we allow God to speak to us through his word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus said, you know, material things alone in life are not going to satisfy you. Even the most important human relationships that you may have are not going to satisfy you, for there is this deep void in our lives that can only be fed when we feed on the Word of God. It is a spiritual hunger that's inside every single one of us as human beings, is that we need God. And Jesus said, this can only be found in the words that come out of God's mouth. And the primary way in which God communicates us to us is through the Bible, the words of God. It is our ultimate authority. The Word of God is absolute, authentic, accurate, and our authority. I'm going to welcome the worship team back up as we prepare to conclude. As much as we're going to be looking over these next 6 weeks from today, looking at different aspects of our faith, theological doctrines of our faith, looking at what we believe and why. As much as what and why is important, who is so much more crucial? Who is the one that we are to look to? Who is the one that we are to listen to? You know, the Bible has been described as a love letter from God. When you get a love letter from someone you love, you treasure that letter. Myself and Jillian, when we started dating, she moved to America for about 3 months in New York, and we used the old-fashioned way. We used to write letters to one another. And we wrote letters and we sent it to one another. And I remember when I used to get one of her letters through the door, I just couldn't wait to open it. I read it, reread it, reread it again. I held on to it and I treasured it. I didn't treasure it because of the importance of the letter, but because of the one who had written it. I treasure it because of the one who had sent it. I treasure the words that are behind it because I realize that there is a love, there is a connection there. It's the same with God's word. And ultimately, this is just paper and ink. That's all it is. But it's not so important as what this is, but who is the one in which it is written. What's more important is the author, God himself, that he treasures us, that he loves us, that he sent us letters of life, letters of love for us that we can treasure, that we can hold on to. And ultimately, the purpose of the Word of God is that we would may have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, he said, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. Often we come back to how I can be better, what I can add to my life, and those things are important. But this is not how we possess eternal life. This is not how we possess the things that's going to, as Alex said, John 10:10, to live life to the full. But Jesus says, these are the scriptures that testify about me. He says, this book is all about me. And yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The whole purpose of the Word of God is to lead us to Jesus, is to fall in love with the author, Jesus Christ, so that we may have relationship with him. You know, God wants to speak to you today. He has spoken to you through his word. But he also wants to say that he loves you. And the purposes in which he wrote this word is for you. That he treasures you. He wants to be in relationship with you and to grow in relationship with you. Hey, would you just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? I know there's so many of you here today that maybe you haven't begun that relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've found yourself caught up in religion and legalism. What you have to do and what you should do. And maybe reading the Word of God has become something that is stagnant. It's something that you have no desire and hunger for. Maybe, just maybe, it means that you need to come back to focusing on the author, Jesus Christ. The one in which the whole purpose was so that you may have a relationship with him. So with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity today to give your life to Jesus and begin a journey of faith with him. Maybe this is something that you never have done before. Maybe you've done it years ago and you made that decision and that commitment, but you've somewhat fallen away. And I want to encourage you today to make a decision, a marker in this road, in this journey of your life. Say, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life again. So everyone head bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking around. It's between you and God. Make that decision right now. I'm ready to give Jesus my life. And I want to ask today, I'm going to count to three. At the end of the count of three, I'd love to just shoot your hand up. Just show me so I can just see you and pray for you. But this is so important for you. Say, I'm making this decision. I'm surrendering to God. So make that decision right now. After one, two, three, just raise your hand and where you are and say, I'm giving my life to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, can we all just pray this together and say, Jesus, I give you my life. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. Today, I choose to follow you. I believe that I am set free, that I am forgiven, and by your grace, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen.